There goes Reyes. Good jump. The pitch hit the left center field deep. Long high drive again. Back goes the center fielder Victorino. There she goes. Another home run for Jose Bautista. He's done it again. And the Blue Jays soar out in front 4-2 here at Fenway Park in the eighth inning.
Second home run of the game went off a light tower atop the monster just to the left of the American flag in dead center here in Boston. A mammoth shot. It probably would have stayed in the stadium as opposed to the one he pulled more in the sixth inning that went into a parking lot across the street and bounced off three cars. Huge day for Jose Bautista as the Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 6-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Go until 8 o'clock Eastern Time at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Steve Delabar gives up the two-run single to Shane Victorino in the seventh for the blown save. But amazingly, the Blue Jays are now 6-3 in games in which their bullpen has blown a save. One of the reasons behind that is because only one of the nine blown saves have resulted in the opposition taking the lead. The bullpen has been so good this year, even though it's kind of blinked the last two games. And now here are the Blue Jays at 40-40. They hit the halfway mark of the season tomorrow, and if they win, they will be above 500 at the halfway mark. And they are now guaranteed to at no worse than to be no worse than a split of the 10 big games against the AL East, 10 games against Baltimore, Tampa, and Boston. The Jays are now 5-4 with one more game to go. With this win, they move 7.5 back of the Red Sox, 6 in the loss column for first in the AL East, and they are now 4.5 games back of the second and final playoff spot in the American League, pending the result of the Yankees-Orioles game later tonight. Again, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin our Blue Jays talk with Chris in Toronto. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Massive win today.
Massive win today.
Massive win today. Just want to make a couple key points here. So one around Jose Bautista. I mean, probably one of the greatest individual games you can ever have. I mean, two massive home runs, ridiculous throw at the plate to take down Victorino when it looked like he was scoring for sure. Had to be perfect. Phenomenal play. Then another RBI late as well to steal the victory.
Didn't get the RBI, but yeah, he crushed that ball.
Crushed the ball. Reyes with, you know, ridiculous speed scores from first. But Jose Bautista gets far too much flack in this town. I mean, the guy is the best. Without Jose Bautista, this team doesn't even exist without Jose Bautista. He is the best. And, you know, you hear from time to time his rumblings, he's not clutch, whatever, it's ridiculous. That home run he had against, Baltimore, where he told O'Day to shut up as he ran a third, was another epic home run recently.
Hey, don't forget the home run in Chicago in the game that started the win streak, two out in
absolutely.
The ninth when they were down a run.
Two strikes, I believe, as well, two outs in the ninth. Yeah, another massive home run. And, you know, he's good. You know, he was in a bit of a slump, and he's going to break out. And when he does, as he did today, he's probably going to hit a bunch. And everyone's going to jump back on the Jose Bautista train. And, I think people should just wake up as to how awesome of a player Jose Bautista is.
All right.
And
thank you, Chris.
One more point. So, Jose Reyes comes back, another phenomenal player, you know. And there was a lot of talk about Minoru Kawasaki. People were saying things like, you know, maybe we should hold off, you know, on bringing Jose Reyes back because of Kawasaki. And I think you said it best when you said that, conservatively, Reyes is a gajillion times better than Kawasaki. But
I think I actually said bazillion, which is a little more.
but one thing that is a little troubling is the amount of coverage and play that Kawasaki gets when you have all of these superstars: Edwin Encarnacion, Reyes, Jose Bautista, you know, Melky, you know, Lynn's having a phenomenal year, Rasmus, and you know, Munenori's on the cover of Sportsnet magazine, and they keep on showing him in the dugout. And, you know, he's a backup, you know, to an injured, you know, he's a backup to an injured guy. Like, he's not very good. He was cut from Seattle. We need to, you know, focus on the real talents of the Blue Jays, and enough about Munenori Kawasaki. You know, I just think it's, you know, he's God love him. He did a fine job, you know. But, I mean, enough. Let's focus
but
on
he's
Reyes.
Fun.
Let's focus on Encarnacion, Bautista.
Yeah, but that's not how it works in Toronto. And first of all, I would submit that I don't know that Melky or Rasmus qualify for superstar status. But I mean, that's not,
Melky,
you know,
what,
who do we deify in Toronto? John McDonald, Brad Smith, guys like that. You know, when the Maple Leafs in the late 80s and early 90s were doing well, it was Brad Marsh who was getting all the talk and not Wendell Clark and whoever. You know, those are the guys that people in Toronto like, the scrappy, not that talented, work really hard, have a lot of fun kind of players. So I don't, you know, I see your point completely, but I don't think that that's ever going to change.
And I think another thing just along that point is, you know, when John McDonald, and John McDonald was great, you know, love John McDonald, but, you know, when he comes back, you give him standing O's, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, a guy like Vernon Wells, you know, or these other guys that, you know, did put in their time, were great players for us, and you know, and it goes along to that same point. And, you know, I hope it doesn't happen with the likes of, you know, Reyes and Encarnacion and Bautista. And, you know, we see the real big picture here about, you know, what the kind of talent that we actually have here.
Yeah, here's the thing about that. And, Chris, I appreciate the call. The thing about that is I think that if this Blue Jay team or, you know, one of the next couple of years finds itself in the postseason, then you'll see heroes' welcomes for everybody when they come back with another team if they don't wind up finishing their careers here. I'll bet you that that's the way things wind up happening. I hope. One call in one segment, more of you in the next. The phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll also hear from Jose Bautista as we continue. The Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-2. It is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
2-2 pitch. Hit on the ground sharply right through the legs of Jonathan Diaz. The ball ricochets down the left field line. Reyes goes to third base. He's getting the wave home. There's the relay to the plate. The slide, he scores without a tag. Throw to third, the slide. Out at third is Bautista. But the Blue Jays, with the inning coming to an end, add another run and go out in front 6-2 here is Jose Reyes with some daring base running, and Coach Luis Rivera picking up on that, waving him all away.
Yeah, Reyes can absolutely fly, and Luis Rivera, from where he was standing, had no idea where the ball was in the left field corner, but he just saw how quickly Reyes was moving. He scored easily, and that took the Blue Jays out of the save situation. So Neil Wagner came in to work the bottom of the ninth. Ground ball, walk, ground ball, double play, and the Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls, and let's get right to it. Jay in Scarborough, welcome to the program.
Mike, good day. Good time after win, I think, to do just a little bit of complaining here.
What?
Darren Oliver over Juan Perez every time out of the box. I don't understand it. Perez is perfect. Zero ERA. Never falters. Darren's doing okay. I've seen innings where they've hit him hard three times to the wall. He gives up a single today. Why not Perez first? I don't get it.
Well, Perez pitched three innings on Thursday, so I don't think he was available today, for one thing. For another thing, as wonderful as Perez has been, he hasn't really been used in many high-leverage situations, and there is something to be said for the fact that he's a 34-year-old who's really never had any success in the major leagues beyond the 15 innings he's pitched for the Blue Jays this year.
I know, but we're living in
that's
the
press, why.
And right now I think we go for it until he shows he can't do it.
Well, I think you kind of work your way up into those high-leverage situations because there's a big difference between pitching three perfect innings when you're down 7-0 and coming in a tight game in the bottom of the seventh inning against a first-place team. That's why.
I don't know. It's all over every time. He's the only Blue Jay that gives me an all.
It's usually Cecil. It's usually Cecil over Oliver. It's not Oliver every time by any means. Brett Cecil is the number one option for the left-hander out of the bullpen for the Blue Jays, and Aaron Loop is the number two option. The problem is that both Loop and Cecil had pitched each of the last two games, so neither of them were going to come out.
All right. We'll be watching as the season unfolds. Have a great show.
Okay. Thank you very much. I like it. The questions that are easy to answer. That's cool. David in Toronto, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
The score today, I think he got three things wrong. First of all, Batista shows up as only two hits. He got two homers, and that other was a double. And he got thrown out going to third.
That was a ground ball that went right through the legs of the third baseman. It was destroyed, it was hammered, it was crushed, but it went right through the legs of the third baseman.
Oh, so they counted that as an error?
Yes, that was an error.
Oh, that's why they did it. Okay, and the second one. That's why he didn't get an RBI as well?
Correct.
Okay, and how about that other hit for Arcibia where the guy missed it, bounced over his first. They counted it as a single and an error, as opposed to a double. I never seen that.
That happens a lot. I mean, I don't think it wasn't right on that kind of play because I don't think you can give Mike Napoli an error on the play if you're giving J.P. Arencibia a single because the ball hopped over his glove. So
right.
the score essentially is saying is that if Napoli had picked the ball up cleanly, Arencibia would still have been safe at first, which is not true. So, but the official scoring here in Boston has been so terrible, so biased, so pro-Red Sox. It really is a joke. But in the overall, I mean, won 6-2.
Yeah, the same thing. There was a ball that was a shot down to Adam Lynn. That went for like a double that went off of his glove. Like to me, there's no difference between that ball at first and that ball that Batista hit. If one's a hit.
Oh, there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between those two things. It was a line drive. Lind had to reach up to his right and jump, and it went off the tip of his glove. Batista hit the ball right through the legs of the third baseman. Huge difference there.
Okay.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-2. They are 40-40, despite the fact that I said they would not be 40-40. Tom is in Waterloo, listening on 570 News. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how we doing? Just thought I'd call and say what a ball game, eh? Two home runs. Batista's back for a bit. Lind even got a triple.
Yes,
strong
he did.
Strong six from Rogers and nice catch from Rasmus. What are we complaining about? I just thought I'd call to say that, Mike. It was a great game. It was, all the way around. Good team, and we're heading there, okay?
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. And, yeah, I hadn't mentioned the spectacular catch by Colby Rasmus that robbed Jonathan Diaz of his first major league hit. Full-out Superman dive in and to his right. Tremendous grab. And Adam Lind hit a triple. Cause for celebration. A legit triple into the triangle in deep right center field. Let's go out to Sarnia, watching on television and listening in. I love it. Brian, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good still.
Good, good. And first of all, you're forgiven for the 40-40 thing.
Thank you.
Everybody's just happy that happened. But more importantly, I'm calling to say that pick up on something that was mentioned today. I had the good fortune to be in St. Mary's at the induction ceremony.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was so good. It always is. This is the third one I've gone to, but it was it's always good. The people in St. Mary's, the people at the Baseball Hall of Fame do a remarkably good job. But in particular, Jeff Cheek spoke on behalf of his dad. He went up, and his mom stood beside him, and he did a fantastic. His was the most emotional, for sure. The speeches were all very good, but his was the most emotional. And a couple of things that he pointed out that I'm sure would be of interest to you is he one of the people he definitely mentioned was Jerry Howarth, and he specifically pointed out the incident when Jerry turned the mic over at the World Series when it was Jerry's turn. And
spectacular play by Jerry right there.
It was so classic. It says a lot about what Jerry Howarth is all about. But it was nice that they acknowledged it in there.
And for people who don't know, the way it worked back in the day, the way Tom and Jerry split their innings, when the game got to extra innings, Tom would do, because Tom did the ninth, he also did the tenth, and then they would rotate two and two all the way until the game ended, which meant that when the Blue Jays took the lead in the top of the 11th in Game 6 of the World Series in 92, that was Jerry's inning. But Jerry handed the microphone to Tom for the bottom of the 11th so Tom could call the World Series victory, which is, one of the class moves of all time.
Total class. I remember at the time, and I thought it was so nice that they acknowledged that. One other thing that really struck me today is he's done it many, many times, but the MC, it was Rod Black. He is so good, so glib and funny, and keeps the program going. And what was really crazy is he did the football game last night in Calgary, got on the red eye, flew to Toronto, and I don't know if they drove or if he flew to London and took a ride, but he hadn't slept at all. And this was, of the three I've seen, this was the best job he did. He had a little thing about what it means to be a Canadian, and he actually introduced each inductee, went over some stats, but more than that, like little funny little stories and things. That guy is so, so good. It was anyway, the whole thing was really good, and anybody out there who's ever thinking about going to it should go, because it is a really, really interesting place. Beautiful town, and they do such a fantastic and professional job. It was a great day.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate that. Great to hear. From someone who was at St. Mary's today for the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame inductions. I would have loved to have been there. Jerry would have loved to have been there, not just because Tom was inducted today, but because Jerry won the Jack Graney Award, which is our version of the Ford C. Frick Award. So our hearts were definitely in St. Mary's today, and I really appreciate the call. Thank you. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-2. Sarah is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm calling to call out that punk from a few minutes ago who was saying that Torontonians spend too much time, talking about Kawasaki and not enough on our stars.
How's he wrong, though?
Sorry?
How is he wrong?
He's not wrong, but Kawasaki, he's hurt. He's at the bench. He's hyping everyone up. We know he's not the best player, but he's there to bring energy and excitement to the team. So I just want to call him out because I personally love Kawasaki, and I'm a longtime Blue Jays fan.
Look, I think everybody loves Kawasaki. There's no reason not to love Kawasaki. The guy's a blast. But the truth of the matter is that we do get hung up on the low-talent, high-energy, dirtbag guys and praise them so much more than we praise the actual stars. And I think that's
a
thing.
He brings the energy, though. That's all I'm saying. He brings the energy.
He certainly does bring the energy. The other guys contribute a lot more to the wins.
My husband's sitting in the car laughing at me right now.
Look, you're not wrong. He brings the energy. But he's the one that gets talked about nonstop when it's the other guys who are, actually responsible for the wins.
For sure. And when Jose Reyes slid to second and hurt his ankle, I cried real tears. I felt his pain, and I was sad. And now that he's back, I'm thrilled. But I think that the underdog should be appreciated a little bit as well.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has a problem with the underdog being appreciated as well. I think that what that caller was talking about was that the underdog gets appreciated more.
Too much.
It's fine. Kawasaki's a blast, and we all have a ton of fun watching him. But legitimately, he's the 25th guy on this team.
I
appreciate the call, Sarah, and I'm sorry that your husband laughed at you in the car. Thank you. Time for a couple more. Randy is in Toronto. Randy, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank God. Oh, please. Are all Toronto fans that bad? I mean, to sit and, I mean, is it Ty, Domi, Kawasaki time? I mean, oh my God. I mean, no wonder we get such a bad reputation.
Where do we have a bad reputation?
Well, just...
We have a bad reputation because we boo our stars when they come back.
No, but we...
Who left on good terms and really had wonderful careers.
No, but, like, we love the crappiest guy on the team.
Yeah, we always have. We always have.
Yes. Like, what is it? Like, Ty Domi. Oh, I love Ty Domi. What a great... Oh, it's so amazing. It's like, you know what? Ty Domi, if you didn't fight 8,000 times, you'd be irrelevant.
But look, I mean, at least Sarah acknowledged that she knows that Munenori Kawasaki is not that good.
Sarah, but
still love him anyway.
No, Michael. Sarah,
come on, the guy's fun.
No, Sarah was painful to listen to once again. Okay,
Sarah thinks you are painful to listen to.
No, I know, but you know who was really good today? It was our best player, Jose.
Yes. Absolutely true.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He probably went in and he said, you know what? I hate Boston. I hate these guys. They've beaten us two games in a row, and we need to win. And what did he go out and do?
Well, then why didn't he say that Thursday?
Well, I wish we could go back and debate.
Yeah, it's not that easy. You can't flip a switch. But he had a phenomenal game today, and you're right. They needed a win, and their best player was their best player.
Was their best player, exactly. Yeah. Anyway,
and Kawasaki sat and watched it. I think we lost Randy. Sorry, Randy. Let's go to Larry. Larry in Toronto, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. Very quickly, I don't want to take up too much time. You and I have talked about the old days with Joe Crisdale and Fred Scambatti on the old 590 and the announcers. And I just want to say that Jack Morris reminds me of Early Wynn back
really?
In the day. Early Wynn was one of the
early
announcers.
Early Wynn, huh? Yeah. Oh, no, I know. But Early was a guy who, you know, I think you only had about a 50-50 chance of making any sense of what he said half the time.
Absolutely. And that's why I love Jack. Jack comes out. He says what he says. He says it like baseball. He doesn't say it like, no offense to you guys. You guys clean it up. You guys organize the thoughts. But Jack says it like baseball. And I loved that, and I could listen to that all day long. Plus, and not patting you on the back too much because of the St. Mary's thing and Tom Cheek and everything, but I tell you, I listen to you every night after the game. It's the game is the best, but you're the next best, so there you go.
Ah, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. And I have to say, I enjoy Jack's candor as well. He is very different from anyone I've ever worked with up here in this booth. And you put it well. I mean, it's not like he's not tough to understand, and he doesn't come with the country wisdom or anything that Early Wynn did, but he is blunt, and he says what's on his mind, and he's a lot of fun to listen to. Sneak in one more before we go. Matt in Orangeville. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike. I was hoping you'd settle bet for me.
Do I get a piece of it?
No, definitely not.
Well, then I don't know if I can help you.
All right, well, let's try anyways.
Okay.
Delamar, he pitched the seventh and the eighth. If he came out in the ninth inning and got three outs, he would have gotten a save, correct?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, because he qualified for the win. You can't get a win and a save.
All right, damn it.
If he hadn't been the pitcher of record,
right,
then
yeah.
Yes, he would have gotten the save.
All right. Thanks, Mike. You're
all right.
My
sorry
night,
you lost
thanks.
The bet. My apologies. Yeah, Steve Delabar came in the seventh and gave up two runs that tied the game, so that's a blown save for him. But that makes him the pitcher of record. And when the Blue Jays went ahead in the eighth, he became in line for the win. And therefore, can't get the save because you can't get a win and a save. But if a pitcher comes in with the lead, with his team already on top, and pitches the 7th, 8th, and 9th, no matter what the score is, he gets a save. Just so you know. Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox 6-2 today. They wrap up the road trip tomorrow. They're 2-4 on the trip right now. Tomorrow marks the halfway point of the season, and they can emerge with a winning record if they beat the Red Sox tomorrow. Mark Burley, who was brilliant in his last start here at Fenway Park, kind of kick-started this whole run back to 500, gets the ball. He's up against Canadian Ryan Dempster. We're on at 1 o'clock for a 1:35 p.m. first pitch. Make sure you join us. We will see you then.